Boss Man Show. My friend from Memphis, my man Philip Dean, Bally Sports. And I thought sports is Bally now. It changed up on us, man. It's Bally. So what's up, Phil? How you doing, man, over in the Memphis 901, man?
I'm doing good, Boss Man. Yeah, it's kind of, I've finally gotten the transition of like not saying Fox Sports and that, it's Bally Sports now. So I think the first 2 weeks was kind of difficult transition. I would keep saying or try not to write in my head, just like, don't say Fox Sports. It's Bally Sports. But yeah, we're all good now.
Yeah, I hear that, man. But tell me this, man. How have you liked the Grizz offseason so far? Has they made some trades, new draft picks? Tell me, what's your overall thoughts about the Grizz, what they've done so far this offseason, man?
Shocking. I wasn't expecting Valanciunas to be traded so quickly. I was thinking maybe it would have happened maybe during the trade deadline, but I think the way the front office is looking is they're trying to, it's not a compete right now. It's we want to see how we can compete in the next 5 years and see what we can do in the long run. And of course, Valanciunas was up for an extension the following season. So it was a smart move for them to work on some pieces for the future. And I like what they got in return with Steven Adams, and we don't know what they're going to do with their Eric Bledsoe, but if they do keep him, I think it's a good hand to have. I don't see him getting very productive minutes with his team, but still, it's a good hand to have in case something happens, knock on wood. But it also gives, and with the move for Grayson, the trade Grayson Allen as well, I feel like that was something that was coming because, I mean, he's a good asset to trade, and he's going to be a great asset for Milwaukee. I think that's a great pickup for Milwaukee. And it also gives an opportunity to give more minutes for guys like DeAnthony Melton and Desmond Bane to move into that start. One of those guys will be in the starting position. And I think it gives them more opportunity to grow and develop. And I think, and those are two guys that definitely need to have those more minutes to develop their game. And I think that was a good move for the Grizzlies to make that trade with Grayson. So I'm interested to see what the Valanciunas trade does in the long run, but this front office has a good reputation of making good draft picks and making good moves with the past 2 years of drafting Ja Morant and Brandon Clark. And then last year with Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. So the front office, you can trust them with this. And I think that it's a shocking pick that they drafted Zaire Williams, but you never know. I mean, they have a good reputation of making draft picks so far, so I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, that the Zaire Williams draft pick did kind of throw me for a loop, Phil, because I was like, he was at 17 if you wanted him. Right. But I get you wanted to make the trade to get off of JV's contract and get Bledsoe on a partial guarantee. And that summer you want to have money. I get all that. Adams is on a controllable contract as well. So I get that, but I was like, maybe somebody else on the board you can maybe get other than Zaire Williams if you want to do that. So I was like, that was kind of threw me off. That's like, for some odd question, Kleiman and those guys was that move right there.
Right. And there was a lot of people thinking like you could have gotten Williams at 17, but that I think that move was also to clear up cap space for next year, because you're working on an extension your Ja will most likely get a max extension next year. And also, I mean, you're trying to clear up cap space because I think in the next couple of years, the Grizzlies, they want to be able to get big names to come to Memphis. They want to be able to sign big names as well. They want to be able to get a good free agent in the next summer free agency. And I think that's their goal, along with re-signing Ja to an extension. So it's all a matter of just clearing up cap space for your future. And I think it's a very smart decision by them.
And Jaren Jackson Jr., it reminds me of John Collins feeling this way. How much do you give him if you keep him? Like the Hawks gave John Collins won a max deal. He wasn't really a max guy, in my opinion. This is just my personal opinion. I love JC the person. But the Hawks are not going to be no better with or without him for us in the Eastern Conference standings. With William, right. we're still at best sixth. Without him, we're still at best sixth, you know? So we're not going to win the championship right. with him on the roster. Jaren Jackson Jr., that same scenario. how much do the Grizzlies tie up the future cap and keeping him around on an extension after next year?
Right, and I feel like they are heavily invested in Jaren. It's a matter of how much they want to put, invest in Jaren. I mean, I think there's no denying it that Jaren wants to be here. I don't think I would ever see him moving to another team right now with the relationship he has with Ja and the rest of his teammates. I think that it's, even though people like to speculate that, I could see him going to the Knicks or something like that, but it's just, I just don't see him wanting to go anywhere else. But I think the front office has to make a very clear decision of how much they want to give him. And I think Jaren will want to stay. It's just, I think you just got to, both teams have got to work out the right contract and the right money to make everyone happy here. So I think that will get worked out sooner than later.
Yeah, because I was worried about that. I was just thinking about that for me, looking at the numbers on salaries. I'm like, okay, I would do Jaren at 4 years, 90, maybe, or 4 years, 80. I wouldn't go above really that threshold of 90 just to make him happy, because I'm thinking about John Collins. I don't see John Collins $25 million a year. I like him personally, but I don't see him at $25 million a year, and that's my guy.
Right, and also, Jaren needs to prove that he's worth that much, because, I mean, he's been injured every year he's been with this team, and so you can't it's too much money, I mean, to throw out. You have to find the right number to keep both people happy. And you've also, next year, you've got to clear up space as well for the max extension for Ja, because he's going to get something that a Trae Young number, somewhere around that. So you got to clear out space for that. So you got to, but it's a matter, those are, Jaren and Ja are your two franchise cornerstones for this team. And you've got to be able to work out something. You've got to work out the right deal for both of those guys, and I feel like they will. It's just a matter of timing is everything when it comes to this.
And also looking at Dylan Brooks' contract too, feel like in 23-24 he needs an extension, because he's proven to be that third piece, that defensive piece. When you all played the Warriors, he gave Steph Curry fits, and on that Sunday game that the Warriors won, and Dylan fouled out, it was about 5 minutes to go, that's when the game changed. So yeah, a defensive stopper, and Dylan Brooks right there, you know, you have to pay him too. So you got to think about Ja, Jaren, and Dylan Brooks, then figuring out everything else around them enough to bring in that one more piece and keep a clean book, because Memphis is not really a luxury tax team that pays it. So you have to really think about that going forward if you're the Grizzlies front office, which I know they are, but I'm thinking about it for the fans. Like, we have to kind of be honest about it. Same with the Atlanta Hawks. You can't pay everybody. Some people will be let go of this young core because everybody can't get a good extension.
Yeah, it's kind of a blessing and a curse with a lot of these guys on this team that they've played up to their contracts. I mean, Grayson did, Dylan is right now. I mean, and Jaren and Ja are both playing up to their contracts right now. So, and Valanciunas was as well. So it's just, you always have these moving pieces of just like, you have a lot of great assets with this team. And so with Dylan as well, I mean, I think he will make, I mean, he will get some offers, because a lot of teams are wanting defensive stoppers right now. They want that guy, that gritty defensive presence on their team. And I think, but Dylan's another guy, I think his contract in the next couple of years, they'll be working on that as well. But I think their main focus right now is focusing on Jaren and Ja and keeping their franchise cornerstones locked in for the next 5 years.
Oh, yes. And I can only see, like, Phil, I feel like this, that's how I feel, man. You all are better positions than the Atlanta Hawks are, because you're in the Western Conference, and the East is more so stacked than it is the West is now. You have a couple of teams up top, but Memphis, with the right moves and the right adjustments, as me and you both know, could be very dangerous in the Western Conference with Ja Morant and those guys playing around him, because just what he did against the Warriors showed what he can do if he's in that setting and dealing with him off a 7-game series, trying to stop that guy, getting downhill and getting his shoes around him. Could be trouble for any team playing the Grizzlies in the playoffs coming these years to come.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, I don't think anyone really expected their expectations last year to be in the playoffs in Jaw's second years, and now the expectations are a lot higher. And I've already seen people saying, well, now with Valanciunas out, that they might be in the play-in again, or they might miss the playoffs. The Valanciunas situation is kind of similar to what they had with Marc Gasol a couple years ago. It was just that their styles is just not evolving in this type of league. I mean, Valanciunas will win you a lot of games, but how long in the long term, centers like that are not going to be around much longer. So you have to think of your future, and it's just I think I love what the front office is doing of it. They're not thinking of like, we need to win right now. We need to think of, we want to be a top contender in the next 5 years. And I think moving Valanciunas, because a lot of these, I mean, how many of these teams in the West are going to be top contenders? I mean, when you look, like, how long is Golden State going to be in this mix for the next couple of years? Where are the Lakers going to be in the next 5 years? I mean, where's Portland going to be in the next 5 years? I mean, a lot of the West is going to be very interesting in the next couple of years. I can see the East is going to be the same with the next couple of years. It's going to be, I mean, I can see Atlanta being in the running. I mean, Milwaukee's going to be those teams in the running. Miami's going to be looking really interesting in the East next year as well. So it's just all a matter of timing right now.
Oh, yes. And has Taylor Jenkins talked about putting Jaren at the five fully? I know you have Steven Adams, but to unlock the Grizzlies, I think you have to put Jaren at the five and play at him at the five with Ja Morant and get shooters around them. Steven Adams, I saw him do shooting threes, but they really want to trust Steven Adams being a stretch five right now. So I'm thinking they'll unlock Jaren's game if you play him at the five more with Ja Morant to put him at the four.
I think in the long run, Jaren will eventually move to the five, but I'd rather see him right now at the four right now, being paired up next to Steven Adams. It's the same situation with how it was with Valanciunas. Valanciunas, get inside the paint, get double doubles, get as many rebounds as possible, and let Jaren be your guy. You can either use him and be at the 3-point line, or he immediately comes in and gets you some rebounds. So I'm not ready yet to see Jaren at the five. I think he still needs to, I'm not ready to see him up against guys like Anthony Davis in the paint, if you know what I mean. I don't think his size is not ready yet to be at the five right now. I think he's better suited just being at a stretch four for you. So in the long run, when he continues to add some more size, I want to see him at the five. But right now, I don't think he's ready for that yet. I'd rather see him be a stretch four for this team.
Most definitely. I can see that for sure, man. And I also love it, too. Like, Tyus Jones is a backup guy. Bledsoe's good insurance. And
yes,
if they wanted to, they could take the hit this year and just do the partial guarantee. Next year still be good if you want to do it. Because, like I said, that's the fear that I have with Atlanta Hawks this field, that the Hawks will think that we're better than what we really are. That was my fear. Like, it was matchups.
Yeah.
Milwaukee and don't make any adjustments. Me and you both know that. So does Tom Thibodeau don't make any adjustments. And Doc Rivers don't make any adjustments. They don't put Trae Young in action. We let Trae Young hide out in the strong side or weak side 3-point corner. He ain't got to defend nobody. Then you want to do drop coverages and let him do a 4-way go. So, yeah, we're going to win because you're letting them do what we want to do for our strength. So I was fearful that the Hawks would think that we're better than what we are. And so far, like I said, I love JC to death, but 25 million for JC on the books, and then we're not going to be really any better than what we are, to me, it's scary. It puts us in purgatory again. Like, I remember when we had the Mike Woodson years and the Bud years for a while there. We just was playoff team. We wasn't going to win anything. We was going to win a lot of games. We're going to do it, but we weren't going to win a championship. And that was my biggest fear, that maybe keep that casket space open to trade for a disgruntled superstar who sees Trae Young development and say, hey, I'm going to come to Atlanta. But now with that JC on the books and our ownership, I really want to play the luxury tax. We are what we are. You know, that's I'm glad Memphis is not doing that to themselves the way the Hawks did it by resigning JC to that contract that we did.
Right. I feel like it seems like the Hawks are in a situation where they've got the talent that they have, but they can't sign anyone else in the long run with a free agency. So you've got the talent that you have for the next 3-4 years. I think with the Grizzlies, it's just a matter, like you said, they have to make adjustments now that Grayson Allen and Jonas Valanciunas are no longer on their roster. So, and that you have to make adjustments with your what you do with Grayson now, and that you replace him with either Desmond Bane or D'Anthony Melton. And right now, I feel like the way Desmond Bane has been playing in summer league, I think he will eventually earn his way to become the starting two for the Grizzlies. And I like D'Anthony Melton coming off the bench as your sixth man. I think he has a lot of potential being your top sixth man right now. And another thing that they're going to be looking for, interested as well, is what do they do with Kyle Anderson? Because he will have, he's a great trade asset as well, and his contract will be coming up soon. So it's just a matter of what do you do with a guy like that as well. So it seems like right now with the adjustments the front office is making, they're being forced to make adjustments, because right now, I don't know, Zaire Williams is in an interesting position right now. I don't see him being a starter anytime soon, but like, what do you do with his minutes? Because he's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to earn his way. I feel like he's going to have to earn his way into the rotation, and he's going to have to prove that in training camp and preseason. So Jenkins has a lot of adjustments to make this upcoming season for this team.
Most definitely. Because think about the same with Atlanta too. When you have so many guys who can play, it's determining that rotation. Who do you play? Who's your top 9 or 10 that you actually play?
Right.
And last year for the Hawks, Phil, because with so many injuries, it wasn't a problem. So guys got to play until the playoffs came around. Same with Memphis. So if everybody's healthy, it's going to be about 5 guys upset if they're not playing.
Yeah.
And they can't go to the G League either. Someone can't go to G League. So they're just stuck on the bench having to stay ready. So Jenkins hadn't had to deal with that the way he will this year, for keeping everybody 1-15 happy. Because
right,
you can only play 10 guys a night legitimately, and it'd be okay during the season.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the big problems with Tyus Jones during the playoff run. He didn't really get any minutes during the playoffs, and Tyus Jones is a great asset for this team. He's a great bench player, but it was a very hard adjustment, because you had times where Jenkins was running Grayson at point, and then running D'Anthony Melton at point, and he threw Desmond Bane in a lot of minutes. So Tyus was stuck at the end of the bench at times, and I know that could have been very deflating, but I think Tyus has an opportunity to really be one of their top bench players. And I think he's one of the best bench point guards this Grizzlies team has had in a long time, because the Grizzlies have never had a really good backup point guard within the past 10 years. And that was something Mike Conley was begging to have for a long time. He never had a good bench backup point guard. I mean, because he had guys like Beno Udrih and Nick Calathes for a long time. And he had Gravis Vasquez for 1 year. But now that they have Ja has a great rotation of backup point guards he can use with a guy like D'Anthony Melton or Tyus Jones, it's going to be, there's more, it's a better, and even you can use Eric Bledsoe as a good insurance policy for this team. So I'm hoping to see more minutes out of Tyus Jones this season.
Well, Phil, I could say this from covering Bud in Atlanta and Jenkins. See, you notice how Bud would never play Portis some games, and how good Portis is? They get stuck on matchups. And if they feel your matchup is not favorable, they won't play you. No matter what you bring, their basis is matchup. So when I saw Tyus Jones not playing, I said, yeah, this is a matchup thing in his head. So our Portis didn't play against Brooklyn, because in Bud's head, it's a matchup thing for Portis being against the Nets. So I don't get it. Like, if the guys were good for you all year long, you bring the energy off the bench and effort, just make it work. Let's not get in this rigid matchup ideology that they both of them get into, and I've seen it both of them do it. It blows my mind, Phil, every time I see them do it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because looking back at that Jazz playoff series, just seeing why Tyus wasn't in, it was all due to matchups. And I think Desmond Bane was the better option to come off the bench because he's a more legit 3-point shooter. And I think he's going to be having more breakout year this year. Now that he'll have more minutes replacing Grayson. So it all changes due to matchups. I mean, you said it perfectly.
Yeah. It was funny, man. Seeing Taylor Jenkins work, Phil, I've seen this movie before. Seen it before. I've seen anything you all go through, I've seen it before already with the Hawks, the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and now we just hope that it works out where Taylor Jenkins gets an NBA championship like Bud. So,
hey, I don't want to sound like a hater and petty. Bud limped into that championship. He got lucky.
Okay. He got a superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, yes. Hey, I hope it works the same way with John Moran.
Yes. Hey, I told some Bucks people flat out. I said, look, Miami was injured, okay? Lucky. Durant's big toe. Kyrie's injury. Trae Young getting hurt. And the Suns got exposed on having two guys that can score the ball on their own. So you had Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Holiday, which is the wild card, is what got them to win. So I said, it had been walking radio. I'm like, look, I'm not – people that got hate Bud, I don't hate Bud. I just tell the truth about Bud. He got lucky. He had the three best players on the court. That's what got him to win. I said, tell him to do it again next year.
I mean, I think they will still be in the running next year. It's just that I think with Miami adding Kyle Lowry will be very, very interesting. I mean, that's something Miami's been needing a point guard for a while to be paired up next to Jimmy Butler. And Kyle Lowry, I think, is the perfect point guard to be paired up next to Butler. So, I think Miami is going to be a team to look out for in this upcoming playoff run.
I got it this way, Phil. I already got Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami. I got Philadelphia, Boston. then it's the Knicks, maybe a sixth, and Atlanta, Indiana, that next group, maybe a Charlotte. So it's like, that's why when I'm thinking about the Collins contract, before we get started, it's six. It's best as number six. Is the best number we can do. It's best six. You know, that's why I was like the way I was thinking about it, because you know, Miami unlocked something with Lowry there and getting Tucker as well. So they're three in my mind behind Brooklyn and Milwaukee, and Philadelphia's four. They cannot be trusted. You know, the Celtics are better now as well, and then it's pretty much the Knicks, Hawks, Wizards, Charlotte, Indiana competing for those play-in spots. Or that one spot that you don't play in, pretty much.
Yeah, it seems like everyone in the East has improved their rosters, and Atlanta just they were able to just re-sign everyone that they have. So it's just a matter of do they improve or do they just stay in that spot, in that 4-6 spot? And Charlotte is going to be a team I would be looking out at in the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, I could see Charlotte was in the play-in last year. I could see them being back in that spot again, and even at the seventh seed as well. So it all depends. I mean, if LaMelo stays healthy, and if he stays healthy, I think they'll guaranteed be in the play-in for sure.
Most definitely. I'm looking forward to it, man. Well, Phil, man, enjoy your offseason. Enjoy the baby and the family, man. All good chatting with you. Hopefully, COVID restrictions will be less. I come to Memphis next year when the Hawks played in the Grizzlies. I can see you, man. I miss coming over and seeing you guys, man.
That's the one thing. That's the thing I hate the most about teams not being able to – media not being able to travel is you don't get to see all your colleagues from other teams. And so – I hate missing you and all my other colleagues at games. So let's hope that the restrictions they're able to let people back in, let media people back in. And so I can't wait to see you, Boss Fam.
Same here. But, hey, you be safe. But talk to you real soon, brother.
All right. Thanks, Boss Fam.
Anytime, buddy.
Woo!